Joining us on the line now is John Arthur talking about his new book, Beer. It's a global journey through the past and present, demonstrating the long and complex history behind the world's most popular alcoholic beverage. Welcome to the show, John.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. I'm guessing this was a fun book to put together and research.
It was. It's the funnest, one of the funnest things I've ever done in my career. It's about 25 years in the making, but finally came to fruition after about 3 or 4 years of writing the book.
Amazing. So why did you decide you wanted to find out a lot more about the history of beer?
Well, it kind of happened happenstance. I was doing research. I do research in southern Ethiopia, and I was working with people there, and I noticed that when I was looking as an archaeologist, I was looking at their ceramic vessels that they use on an everyday basis, and some of them were completely eroded on the inside. And I asked the women what was going on, and they said that the beer was eating the pots. And I realized how important then that beer was in their society. And then I started looking around and realized that beer goes back 13,000 years ago, and it's the third most popular drink in the world, and how important it was in terms of shaping our world.
Yeah, beer was actually produced before the invention of pottery, which is incredible.
Yes, I was always skeptical. I always thought that beer and pottery would go hand in hand, and but the new research from researchers from Stanford University, when they excavated this cave site in Israel, found that they were making beer 13,000 years ago, which is 4,000 years before pottery was invented and 4,000 years before the domestication of grains.
Gosh, that's bizarre, isn't it? There's also evidence of beer making in a cave in Israel in 11,000 BCE.
That's right. And so that's it's kind of remarkable. Thinking about this, it really shows, I think, that people were, they knew about making beer. They knew about the effects of it, the psychotropic effects of it. And they were willing to go about inventing technologies before pottery to make beer. And so they were using stone mortars, and the cave sites associated with human burials. So we think that it was a funerary feast, and the people are buried with a lot of different animals. And so this is not just a, you know, people are drinking around in their household. This was a very celebratory ritual beverage that had a lot of importance to the people very early in our history.
Mm. And for some, it was seen as a safe alternative to drinking water.
Yes. I mean, one of the biggest problems with indigenous societies today is not having potable water. And so one of the things that indigenous societies do today and in the past was make beer, and that low rate of alcohol, 3 or 4%, kills the bacteria. I've drank beer in southern Ethiopia, and I've never gotten sick, but I've boiled the water in southern Ethiopia and filtered it, and I've still gotten sick. So beer, that's why I think it's such an important beverage, because it helps protect people of all ages through many, many centuries.
Mm. So what were some of the most interesting things that you found out about the history of beer and the production of beer that you didn't know before researching the book?
Well, besides what we already talked about, you know, that occurred before the food domestication and before the pottery technology, one of the things that when you study beer that's being drunk today with indigenous societies and also in the past, is that it's usually tied to rituals that people always feed the ancestors, really worldwide in different contexts, but worldwide they feed the ancestors first because you have to appease the ancestors. And so we just see that in many places around the world, both in the past and present, and that beer is used as a commodity because most subsistence farmers, they don't have a lot of capital, but they have the grains to be able to turn those grains into beer, and that's a motivating force to get the community to help them with certain projects, such as planting crops, building bridges, maintaining roads, things like that. So we see that worldwide. The Inca did this. They built, 25,000 miles of roads, and most of that was fueled by feeding people with beer. So I think another thing is that beer in the past and in with indigenous societies today, it's really considered a food. So we have to kind of think of it differently than how maybe industrialized Western societies think about beer.
Mm. What about the fact that women were likely the first and most important brewers?
Yes, we see that throughout history in the text in Mesopotamia, the text in Egypt. We see that throughout the world today in contemporaneous indigenous societies, that women have the knowledge, the innovation, the skills. They're the ones that I believe, I can't prove this, but I think that they're the ones that invented beer. They were probably the ones that invented the probably vast array of fermented foods that we see around the world. And the men just enjoy that the knowledge base that women have had for many, many centuries. But now, you know, of course, with the craft beer industry today, it's kind of switched. And with industrialization starting around 1400, that's when men started to kind of take over the producing beer. So we kind of see that switch about 500, 600 years ago.
Mm, that's really interesting that. I bet a lot of people, well, most people wouldn't know that and probably wouldn't believe it either. So that's a really, really great bit of information. And what about the British brewer who wanted a beer that would be preserved for the long trip between England and India?
Yeah, so that, I mean, remarkable, again, innovation is just, how do you get beer that usually would spoil in 5 days? How do you get it to transported, you know, across from England to India or into the Baltic area? And so what they did is they added more hops. And we know hops is a flavoring agent, but one of the most important things that hops did in past beers was it was used as a preservative. And so they just added dry hops to the beer and then sealed those caskets. And lo and behold, the beer, when they opened it up in India, it was still good.
Incredible. I think it's interesting how people, when people use the word beer, they could be thinking about or talking about quite a few different types of things. It's like an umbrella term, isn't it, for lager, ales, beers. There's so many different things that kind of fall under the umbrella of beer. It means different things to different people, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the neat things about beers. I mean, it's usually, what is the definition of beer, right? That's what we always debate. And really what it comes down is, are we using malted grains so that we can convert those malts into sugars that then convert it into alcohol? But people have been creating beers for thousands of years with such a varied amount of ingredients and different flavors, usually local ingredients, so it was, you know, very sustainable. And people then attached those local beers to their identity, so they become very important. Everybody that's probably listening right now thinks that their local beer is the best, and that's part of that identity issue. I know I love my Tampa Bay beers here in Florida. What's another interesting thing is that the craft beer industry is really learning a lot from the history of ancient brews and the different types of ingredients that brewers have have used over the over time, and now they're experimenting with those ingredients and making really incredible, varied beers that have different tastes, different colors, and we're lucky. This is really the best time to be living if you're a beer lover, because of the vast array of beers that are being produced around the world.
Yeah, the craft beer boom is incredible, really, isn't it? How long is it? Would you say it's been going on for now?
Well, in the United States, Prohibition destroyed the craft beer industry. There was hundreds, if not thousands, of craft breweries before Prohibition. And then in the 1960s, 1970s, there was only about less than a dozen craft breweries. So when we're talking about from like 1972 to the present, we've gone from maybe a dozen breweries to thousands now. And just in the last 10 years, it's increased incredibly here in the United States, and I think around the world as well.
I'm interested to hear a bit more about the back of the book. You've got some recipes for trying out indigenous brews at home. What kind of things can people make at home then?
Yeah, so I work with a bunch of brewers here in Tampa Bay, and we have a brewing arts certificate with my university, and we brought together archaeologists who have done experimental brews, and also brews that students have done with this certificate program, and taken some of the more successful ones and utilized these ingredients that ancient brewers have used, and then put them in the book, so that if you buy the book and you can go back and look at these different types of recipes and then actually try them at home. They're very simple, very easy. Some of them have used, different types of like stale bread, which we know that some of the ancient brewers were doing, maybe in Mesopotamia. Some of the brewers have used local chocolate that was made here in St. Petersburg, Florida, and infused that with their beer. And so they're very tasty, and some of them have won awards as well.
Are there any that you personally prefer that you would make at home yourself?
Well, I love chocolate, so I prefer a little bit of the sweetness, kind of a porter-like beer. My usual favorite beers right now are porters, so George Washington's favorite beer.
Ah, you're in good company then. Well, if people want to find out more about beer and the history of beer, they need to get a copy of the book. It's available on our website, tre.radio, in the bookshop section. It's called Beer, and it's by John Arthur, who we've been chatting with. John, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It was great talking with you.